All right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Time Out Show listeners around the world and in Colorado. Welcome to the Dad Time Out Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough, or not, work in the entertainment industry. We're not experts, but we listen to them, we react to them, we dissect them, and we share what we've learned with you. There's a little pop culture, a lot of parenting, a lot of laughter, a lot of experience. You can use the other 23 hours a day to do life, but for this, put the ears on. Come hang out with us. It's a place to put your feet up or down, or if you're driving or exercising or skateboarding or kite surfing or hiking or moonwalking or needlepointing or scrapbooking, gardening, refereeing, food shopping, coaching, anything like that. If you could like a subscribe or leave a review, we'd be forever grateful, although we know none of you are ever going to do that. We check our numbers. But if you could follow us on the gram, Twitter, Facebook, just as fun. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up. We'll go over our brackets, which got completely blown up during March Madness. We'll touch on a dog picture story from the last show. And we'll chat about the month of April overall. Then we'll have parent tweets of the week. They're going to be on siblings tonight and whether siblings get along. I've got one right behind me, so we'll get her vote in on this in a second. And then we're going to be discussing why self-reflection is important, how to practice self-reflection, and 20 self-reflection questions for parents and parenting. We'll breeze through it. We're not going to go through all 20, obviously. We will not waste your time. But that is from the website Parenting for Brain. And then we'll take a good old-fashioned pub quiz, a couple of this or that's, and then we'll talk about things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I haven't seen this young lady out here in a while. It's very, very exciting. What's your name, ma'am?
Kira.
Kira. So is this the first time you've done this since you've been in high school? I can't remember because, you know, I'm getting older.
I don't think so. I think I did one, in September.
Oh, in September. Okay. So last year. Okay, so you were a freshman. Okay, so anyway, I'm very honored that you're still doing dad jokes with us as a high schooler. So what is your joke of the night? We are in the month of April, and we're heading down toward a certain holiday, and I know you've got a good joke.
So the joke is, what does a marshmallow chick's car horn sound like?
What does a marshmallow chick's car horn sound like? Tell me.
Peep, peep.
Peep, peep it is. I will let you go back inside. Thank you for coming out tonight. I know you were in the middle of dinner, and I pulled you out in a hurry. So well, coming up next, the guys will be coming around the corner. We're going to let my daughter go have dinner, and we'll get the show started. Dad Time Out Show coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, in this great hall of justice are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Time Out Show.
All right, the guys have come around the corner. They're giggling, they're cheering, they're doing the wave giggling? Over there.
Giggling.
We're giggling.
Over giggling.
Doing giggling. A little dance, making a little...
Love.
I was like, don't call me gangly.
Down the night.
That's right. Running, man.
Well, welcome, everybody. Happy April.
Hey, boys. Hey,
good to see you.
Hello. It's
been a minute.
Yep. Been a minute.
All of our hair is longer or shorter.
No, not really. Yeah. I grew another chin over the month. So, I'm up, so like 6 or 7 now. Depends come which on. Way I look. Here's the thing. When I look down at my computer, and you're on a Zoom or a FaceTime, it explodes.
It's tough.
But then if I look normally straight ahead, I'm actually okay. But then I've caught myself craning in pictures to hide.
Oh, really?
So I'm always in the you're back, there? And I try to get over the shoulder like this.
Well, the iPhone is so unkind. It's the most
it
unflattering.
Is.
FaceTime is so unflattering. I'm like, holy moly.
It's a bully out there.
It's a bully.
The Zoom calls, all day long. And you're just so self-conscious, just looking at yourself.
Still?
All day long.
Because you do.
Even in the office, yeah.
Hundreds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, I catch myself making the weird face from time to time.
But now you're in the office, so it's not like you can put on a collared shirt.
Still Zoom. Oh, yeah.
Do you have one of those ring lights that, like, makes you look better on camera?
I'll re-reference face yoga, guys. We talked about this some months ago. And so you can't see it, but I'm going to demonstrate for my boys real quick this right here. Basically, you look up and pretend like you're kissing the ceiling. That's the motion.
I would say it looks like guppy.
Yeah, it looks ridiculous, but I do it while I'm in the peeing.
When you're peeing?
When I'm peeing. So okay, while I'm going to the bathroom.
Let's move on.
No.
His mouth but yoga that, stories.
What else?
That's a little too much. What is the rating of the show?
It's still early in the show.
It's fine. Listen, so that equals approximately 3 to 4 minutes a day, and that's all you got to do.
Of peeing. And how are you aiming if you're staring up at the ceiling?
You look it. You have to look.
How are you dancing on
the
ceiling?
Whatever, man. Next thing.
So here, I just Googled it. He's not too far off. There's actually an app
for face
called Face Yoga, the number one face yoga app. Gosh.
I told you, dude. And anyway, it's a great for the old, you know, muscle tightening, double chinness.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All
right. I feel a burn every day.
7 face yoga exercises.
Jeez, man.
Very cute tonight. Ben and Chris rode together in the car.
I learned a lot
about
Chris.
I just picture their little bobbing heads like Fozzie Bear and Kermit, like moving right along.
Yeah.
Or that. I'll go there too.
Wasn't like that.
So March Madness, how'd your brackets do?
No brackets.
Terrible.
You didn't do any brackets?
Don't do
it. I never bracket.
It was the best tournament I've ever seen.
It was a great tournament.
It was a great tournament.
Who won?
Fun.
I don't
UConn?
Know.
UConn?
No. UConn.
And LSU.
And LSU.
UConn.
Louisiana State University. Tigers and the University of Connecticut Huskies.
And I believe that was the first time LSU won the national championship.
The women's.
Yes.
Women's and men's, I believe.
Yeah. It was an exciting tournament.
It was. You know what I liked? It was just constantly on. So you could be doing. It's kind of like why my wife loves baseball so much. Because it's constantly on in the background, and you can be doing other things around the house. And then check in at the very end.
It's a lot of pressure on
watching kids. Baseball.
They're kids, man. I remember feeling way too much pressure as a college athlete. I'm sorry to be down on it, but I just when I watch those high level of college sports, I'm like, man, so much pressure on kids. They're 18 and 19. Dang, dude, it's heavy. And it's like so many people's jobs, so much money.
So would you rather not do it or do
it? No, it was awesome, but I'm very traumatized from. It being the pressure of it being all these you know, our coaches, it was their livelihood, right? And so that comes down on you as a kid, and it was way too much.
Yeah, I mean, you have choices too, right? You can bow out of the sport and not face that pressure, or you can be the guy that or girl that hits the game winner and goes down in history and on banners and in highlight films.
I wouldn't trade the experience. I just remember.
Definitely a yin and a yang there.
There
Brad.
You go. Let's agree with it. Oh, yeah, we can agree on that.
Yeah, this isn't even a smart article for Smart Pearson. Pearson.
who's Pearson?
Pearson.
A friend of mine.
That's what happens on. Yeah, Mark's good friend, Pearson.
Yeah, his name is John. It's down in L.A. He's a good guy.
Yeah, that's your Uber driver over here tonight, right?
No.
Pearson. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to tonight. First off, why don't you guys go around the table and introduce yourself really quickly since we're all not doing, we're getting close to bi-monthly again, which is nice. So why don't we start with Mark this time on the right?
Yes, Mark, 4 kids, Mataris.
And give us a fun fact, Mark.
Fun fact. Well, you already know I like Halloween. I'm a certified massage therapist.
Oh, well.
That's not true.
Yes.
What?
There's a fun fact, Ben.
There you go.
I'm Benjamin. I got 3 kids. Last I checked, there were 13, 10, and 6. And living in Alameda, California. Raising them the best we know how. The fun fact thing, I feel pressure because there's so many fun facts.
As you
there.
Should.
Yeah. All right. I don't do well with
Unlike
pressure.
Unlike a college athlete.
I don't do well with pressure.
Pass on the.
You gave us all that build up and then he delivers nothing.
No fun nothing. Fact.
Chris,
can you believe
please?
It?
Give me a fun
he opened
fact.
It for Arcade Fire.
I have.
Is that a fun fact?
I have 2 daughters and my fun fact is I met my wife in elementary school.
Oh, I think I remember that. That's fascinating. What grade?
4th grade.
fourth grade. Oh, that is cute. Wow. Yeah. I still keep in contact with a lot of my grade school friends. My OG crush and I are still friends from first grade.
Oh, wow.
Can't deliver names because they may or may not listen, but I think they know who they are. My wife does anyway.
I've had a best friend since second grade. I talked to him today. It's wild when you have friendships that long.
Yeah.
All right, I'm MK. I'll be your tour guide as usual. I have three children, a new pup, and a lovely wife, and she just brought us some delightful cocktails for
the
evenings.
What are we drinking? What do we call this?
I'm not sure, except that she just called it the Spring Break Special.
I love it. What's your fun fact?
Spring Break Special.
I want your fun fact.
I once was thrown out of a basketball game with Shaquille O'Neal. That's my fun fact.
Wow.
What do you mean?
That's a good one.
Yeah, you mean together you got thrown out?
He got ejected for fighting. Our player got ejected for fighting, and then I got ejected for inciting a riot because I was in the mascot costume.
Nice.
And I got the crowd all fired up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Wow.
And they threw me out of the game and made me sit on the curb outside of the arena and wait for my band director.
In my uniform.
The funniest part, it was the tournament. So I'm sharing the room with the Alabama Elephant, the Florida Gator.
Wow.
And, of course, the LSU Tiger. So anyway, there's animal parts all over. I walk in, I take my head off, and this lady barnstorms the door open. She's like, "Which one's Smokey?" And they're all three animal, like half in and half out of costume, pointing at me. They're like, "That guy."
They're smoking.
They're like, "Get out." And she literally grabbed me by my costume and threw me out.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't get in trouble. My band director thought it was hilarious.
When I close my eyes, I think about you and Shaquille O'Neal sitting on the curb together, like both like totally bummed out. Shaquille.
Well, that was a crossroads. That Shaq chose one career, and I unfortunately didn't.
Can I do a quick one then? Because of Shaq. His backup was Mark Madsen. You guys know Mark?
Mad Dog Madsen.
Yeah. And now the coach of Cal as of last week, apparently. Mm. I ended his high school career, if that's a fun fact.
Nice.
I guarded him. I was so mad.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
I didn't injure him. We beat him in the NorCal championships. Oh, I see. Come on, man.
I thought you swept the leg.
But he was
swept the leg.
Some Cobra Kai over here.
I ended his career.
You know? I was like, "Whoa, that's hardcore."
But
he was Shaq's backup, and I guess the first day of his practice, Shaquille O'Neal came to Mark Madsen and said, "Hey, Mark apparently rolled up in a minivan to practice." And
Shaq's I heard that story.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
And he took him shopping for a car.
Lakers, right?
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all our fun facts. I'm glad Ben rallied and ended someone's career.
Sweet. Good comeback.
I would like to quickly go through our IG and just thank people that have liked our stuff recently or have interacted with us really quickly. Jessica Spear, author, Josh Since 94, Parent Compass, Mr. Misfit 06, Scotty Style, Dad V Wild, AMICC, Mr. Drew Fowler, Wildman Chef, Team Lopez, and Das Musman. And that's just a handful, but I'd like to shout those people out because they're kind enough to interact with us.
All the other days
that I'm working on this bad boy. All right, coming up next, Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for Tweets of the Week. Is the fountain sputtering?
I didn't even
know. No, it sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Mark's enjoying our new relaxing fountain on sale at the Orchard Supply. For the low price of $99.
It's
now Outdoor Supply.
Oh, yeah. Orchard was probably politically incorrect. all right, so these are tweets coming in from funny parents from around the country. We're not as funny as they are, but we like to discuss their thoughts. Here we go. From Donut Hawk, great name, at Struggle Display. My daughter just told me she doesn't like Cadbury eggs, and oh, thank God, because the 12 I bought her accidentally fell into my face hole.
Oh.
I think I like the word face hole first off. So just quickly, what's your favorite Easter candy? And do you like the Cadbury egg?
The Cadbury egg with the grittiness of it. That freaks me out. I feel my teeth burning away.
I thought they were good early when I was younger.
When I was a kid, it's a good kid candy.
Cadbury eggs are fine. Your teeth sting when you bite it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Peeps. Really? You
do?
Peeps? And you enjoyed our joke tonight.
Yeah, I loved it.
Really? Peep, peep.
Peep, peep.
Peep, peep.
Really? You know what I like, though? malt balls, like the Whopper Easter egg. Yeah, they make them in the egg shape. I like Whoppers.
You don't
like
to malt? Find those.
Yeah.
I would say just like a high quality chocolate bunny, like biting off the ear.
Russell Stover?
No, Lint. No, that's not like high quality, like Lint. Bro. I said high quality. Yeah,
you know, like Lint. Lint?
Oh. Yeah, Lint chocolate's better than
Scharfenarfrey?
Scharfenberg. Yeah.
Scharfenberg. yeah.
Talking about Scharfenberg.
Well, it's really funny.
Don't get me to chocolate. Cacao?
At putting myself in the line of fire, I know you're going to make fun of me, but over in Belgium, in Europe, like you go.
We wouldn't do that.
No. We wouldn't make fun of you. But you go to all those chocolate shops, and there's enormous chocolate bunnies, like in the window, like made like out of the best chocolate, and it's super fun. And then they'll bring it outside and eventually they'll just like take a hammer to it, and all the kids will run it. It's fun.
You know, speaking of Belgium, did you guys know about the orange throwing festival in Italy?
Yes. No, not before you. Oh, you sent it to me.
Belgium.
I read about that in the Times last. It's anyway, I don't want to derail, like, but it made me think of like smashing the bunny could be like a cool town square thing. Mm-hmm. You get all the little, what do they call them in Belgium? The
kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Kinder.
And they all run out into the town square and smash the giant bunny. Anyway.
Kinder.
All right, the country can have that idea.
I'm just jumping in real quick with like large egg-sized Reese's Pieces.
Ooh.
Not Reese's Pieces, Reese's egg.
Yes, the Reese's egg.
Yeah.
I've never had one before this year.
Really?
Oh. Really?
That's sad. Sad.
I know.
You know what my daughter brought me the other night? This is when you know your child loves you. She got me Reese's Animal Crackers. Just ooh. She said, hey, Dad, I saw these at the store. Oh. Thought you would enjoy them.
Oh. That's amazing.
Yes. That's sweet. Yeah. That's a good kid.
It's delightful, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, we'll stick on that train, and then we're going to go to siblings, because I got a bunch of funny ones. Well, I think they're funny. All right, so on to the sugar train. Funny to think how much I limit the sugar in my kids' diets when my lifeblood growing up was Kool-Aid.
It still is, though. That's what's funny. Is like I do regulate the sugar, but then when they go to sleep, like I bring out the nerds and the sour ropes. Oh, yeah. I got like a stash.
Have you made Kool-Aid recently in your adult life? It's unbelievable. Like it's like 2 cups of sugar.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
You don't have it in your house, I take it.
I know, but you know what I found at a garage sale was the full set of Kool-Aid, old plastic one, the Kool-Aid pitcher.
Oh, the pitcher. With the four cups.
Oh, yeah.
But the pitcher and the 4 cups.
I used to dream of that thing breaking through my wall on like a lazy Saturday.
Bring me some Kool-Aid,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, what?
Totally.
That's awesome.
Like, how cool would your friends in the neighborhood think if you actually had the pitcher guy break through your wall?
So weird.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
So weird.
Like, who sat around in the marketing department and decided, like, let's make a big giant talking picture?
We need to do a whole show on that because Chris and I were derailing on a text chain about the foods that made us.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these stories about how these things are created, like the tension between, like, Little Debbie and Hostess and Entenmann's.
Ooh.
And just, like, these cookie brands or popcorn brands, it's squared off in the OG. Anyway. But Kool-Aid. Oh, yeah.
Those make good movies.
And then the Crystal Light came. No, not Country Time.
Well, yeah, but Crystal Light was
country
a disappointment,
time,
right?
Crystal Light was like, it's like diet.
Yeah, it was
like that good old fashioned lemonade.
Had a Sunny D.
Ooh, well,
Sunny D was gross.
There wasn't excitement to taking the scooper that they give you in there and like leveling it off. You remember? Like they give you a scooper and all those.
Talking about Tang?
No, I'm talking about the Country Time. They gave you the little scooper.
Tang was for astronauts.
It was.
There was some.
It's true.
So my two most hated drinks as a kid were Sunny Delight and YooHoo.
Oh, really?
I used to. Yeah. I did this at baseball practice once. Because they all had YooHoo, and I took it, and then I pretended I was barfing right behind the dugout, and I just kept spitting out YooHoo and making noises like. Everybody in the stands was like, what's happening right now?
Don't give the kids YooHoo anymore.
No, it's bad on a hot day.
That's true.
Coach Jim. All right, so we're going to move on to siblings. We all have siblings, right?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Chris has got the most seasoned sibling look. Mark's got a bridge, but he's got a lot of siblings going on. And Ben's got the young fire power going.
Mm-hmm.
This is from @ParentNormal. Oh, that last tweet was from @TheMom, though. She's a very funny Twitter. When a kid asks a sibling to play a game of tag, they're basically asking if the sibling wants to take a jog and end in a fight.
Kind of.
When I was little, I didn't have any brothers or sisters, but I always remember, like, tickling always started funny, like, or getting somebody, like, in the neck, like, we called it a Spock.
Totally.
Remember Spocking people? Yeah. Spock grip.
Yeah.
And then they'd do it to you, and then it would get further and weighted and heavy, and wrestling would turn into, like, anger.
Mom!
But I'm seeing it with mine.
Yeah, I've stopped even hoping that they're not going to fight. It's a given. It's just like, as soon as it starts, I break them up. So, okay, they had about 30 seconds of fun and laughing, and then I don't try to stop it. I don't say, don't fight. It's done.
Do you separate them?
Yeah, I just let it go to the fight. It's like a boxing referee.
Yeah.
Just like, fight. All right, break it up.
Mm. I try to, sometimes it works, most of the time it doesn't. I try to, like, play CSI on it. What happened first?
Do you really?
Second, third, and I try to see how it got to the escalation phase of complete meltdowns on both sides. Or semi-tears, or really loud yelling in a door slam.
That is the way to do it.
Oh, yeah?
I follow the same process, absolutely.
You're doing, like, the forensics, like, okay, who started
it? Yeah, like, what happened? Okay, how did it start? Let's work through if you're going to be the judge, you have to have the story.
Who's really at fault and all that
every
stuff.
Every fight?
Not every fight.
You got to stop escalation. Stop the escalation.
I save it for the playoffs. I don't do it during the regular season. I bring out the referee during the playoffs.
Right. You got to throw the flag early.
I just say the first one to get me a beer isn't in trouble.
Well, and then I do that thing that teachers used to do when I was a kid. And, like, let's just say some kid made a fart noise and the teacher wasn't looking. And then she turns around or he turns around and they're like, who did that? And nobody will fess up. And then they say, I'm going to hold the whole class accountable until you rat out the person,
basically.
Yeah, that's
basically the old coach thing. Run until somebody...
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I do in my house now. Oh, you both have similar versions of a different story. Who's ever telling the... Like, someone's going to have to tell me the truth, or we're going to shut the Wi-Fi off for an hour or whatever. Ooh,
damn.
Boom.
Dang.
Yeah. All right, well, let's continue on this train. This is very funny. I can go back to my childhood with this one. It's from Henpeck Tao. No one is obnoxiously well-behaved as a child whose sibling is getting yelled at.
It's true. Mine just go outside. It disappear out of the
house. Then they sometimes they watch and wonder. Or like, mine will like go total radio silent. And they even, well, mine do it with lectures more than two. Like, if one's getting lectured, the other one just kind of is like, I'm not getting in this corner. I'm not getting in this thing.
If they start popping the popcorn, that's when you have to, like stop that, though. Like, hey,
they love it.
Come on.
They love it.
What do you mean popping the popcorn?
I mean, just enjoying the show. Enjoying the show.
Yeah. Watching the show.
Popping the popcorn.
Popping the popcorn.
You know, like, you get popcorn.
Let me get some snacks.
This lecture might
take a while. I'm going to enjoy this.
I'm so surprised you don't know that pop culture reference. You're usually way ahead of us.
Well, I do it on the GIF.
Oh, God. Yeah, the GIF.
The GIF. Anytime the
Michael
I see,
Jackson
like...
Michael Jackson theater one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I do Michael Jackson one.
That's the one. That's the one.
Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah.
Has a good one, too. Whenever I'm, like, on a Discord chain of parents that are all bickering about some trivial thing, I'm like,
drop one of those.
Drop the popcorn.
There you go. You got it. That's all he's saying.
I'm like, here we go, yo.
When my kid, when we were kids, my brother would get yelled at. I would, like, start, like, you know, vacuuming the house, doing dishes, you know, like, oh, man.
You're doubling down on the angel. You're like, yeah, I got it.
You didn't want to get thrown in solitary confinement, which your dad actually did, I think.
Join him.
Can I tell that?
All right. This is from the Ari Bradford.
Sorry.
Nobody has a better bedside manner than a kid who's trying to get their sibling they just punched to stop crying before their parents hear.
Oh, yeah. Man. So true.
Yep. Very true.
I could even run that back to schoolyard stuff.
I just had about four memories flash in.
Or neighborhood stuff. Like when the kid got hurt and you're like, oh, my God. And then you sensed parent. Okay.
I was the youngest, so I was always the one being asked to not be vocal.
All right, this is from @CheeseBoy22. He's coming back. Yes. With vengeance. Asking your child to get their sibling for dinner is just asking them to stand next to you and scream the sibling's name down the hall.
Literally. Yeah.
Can you get your sister?
That couldn't be more spot on.
That is my every night thing. I send the young one in because he's less likely to get yelled at.
I describe my house every week. It's a longer house, and the kitchen's down here, and the rooms are way down there.
You need one of those English bell, like manor bell systems. Ooh, ding, ding. From the,
I like that.
Or like a taser-esque thing that gives them a little shock on their
little collars.
Yeah, exactly.
Put some dog collars on.
Dinner time.
You're home now. Get your collar on.
Dinner.
We'll buzz you when it's dinner time.
We'll let you know. Enjoy Roblox. All right. Finally, it's from Scary Mommy. Shout out to all the parents whose kids just lost it because a sibling put a foot near him or looked at him for too long.
a foot
near him. Right?
It's trauma. It's trauma. It's true trauma.
Ours is singing. I'm not going to name which does which to which, but the one will just sing in very under the radar kind of tone to drive the other one crazy, but imperceptible to me in the other room. So they'll be like, and the other one's trying to watch like insert Nickelodeon show here. Yeah, they're good. All right, that was our tweets of the week. We should do a whole episode on siblings. Maybe we will. Coming up next, smart articles by smarter people. This one's called "What Is Self-Reflection."
Articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles from smart people. This comes from Parenting for Brain. Ben actually sent me this site a couple moons ago.
Mm. Oh.
This is "What is Self-Reflection?" and 20 Questions to Reflect On. Let's quickly go around the room. And what is self-reflection to you as a parent, Mark?
It's about thinking of every interaction post and then trying to, you know, adjust how I've reacted perhaps for future conversations. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, I'm hyper self-analytical. And so when I try and think of all interactions, but you know, we're talking about our kids, I try and see, how did that work out for me? How did it work out for my child? How could I have done things differently? I fail nonstop with trying to be who I want to be. But it's just a constant, how could I have done that better? And then, you know, you go through and you talk to the kid if you didn't feel like you handled it right, and you repair whatever you might have broken. And
yeah, I mean, it's pretty spot on. I mean, I think we'd all have similar answers, unless, Ben, you have a spiritual version. Here not comes Ben.
Not anymore. Bully. He's got his bully pants on tonight, doesn't he? All right.
I'll reflect on that later.
Well, now I was going to say something pretty normal, but now I'm trying to think of a spiritual angle. No, I think the best tool I employ myself is trying to imagine being their age. Mm. Like, if I get mad, like, at Moe's, he's 6, you know, or like my daughter, she's 10, she's little, you know, and so just remembering that they're little, and they're tender little minds. I don't know. Like, I just, my...
So you tend to role play your own kids and put yourself in their head, and then
I try to get in their heads.
You.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to get in their heads, and I'm like,
that's huge. That's huge.
This is a big article, so I want to let Chris go real quick.
That's huge, though.
I mean, yeah, self reflection, I guess, for me is just trying to snap out of like autopilot. Like sometimes you just kind of like day in and day out, you just fall into a routine, and you're not really aware of how you're acting. So kind of looking at yourself in the mirror and reflecting on, you know, like, this is how I'm being, and like, you know, being aware of how your actions are impacting the people around you.
Mm. And your spouse, my spouse holds a mirror up to me every day, and I'm grateful for it. It's rough. Dutch girls are rough. They're gonna tell you like it is, but like, it's like, they're gonna remember this. You are so you're so worried. You're so on them. I want them to remember a calm, gentle, happy dad. Mm-hmm. And so that's my checkpoint.
I think the big thing, like what you said, and I agree with, is I put myself in that same boat where
in their shoes. Yeah.
Like, how old are you? Oh, that's right. Like, when I start getting frustrated about whatever, I think, oh, actually, you are being age appropriate. I'm the one who's not being thoughtful about your station and where you are in your life journey, right?
Yeah.
It's totally that way.
I mean, sometimes I feel like it's immediate, and I'm getting better at almost catching myself instantaneously and boomeranging around to a different mental vibe with them. Sometimes it takes a minute, or sometimes I'll, to your point, not as Dutch, but my wife will be like, hey, they meant to say this, or this is how that conversation was going. And she'll show me the light on what I might have missed in my reaction, which therefore I will come back around and apologize if I was wrong, or which I mostly am. But I mean, like, holding the mirror up to me, kind of like, oh, here's what that was about, you know, so you should do this or you should do that.
Well, yeah. We're very quick to, like, look at things from our own perspective and not look at things from the person that we're directing our conversation to. And that's the big thing about all reflection is, you know your audience.
Yeah, I think everybody self-reflects to some extent, but I mean, I'm pointing the laser more at the parenting side of it. Their textbook definition is self-reflection is examining your own internal mental state to gain a better understanding of yourself. It involves being aware of your thoughts, emotions, behavior, and experiences to identify areas of improvement for personal growth. With new sight, you can adopt positive change in your mindset, make better decisions, and become a better version of yourself, which I agree with. I do a lot to, I'll push it out during meditation because I try to keep that clear. I'll do a lot of post-mortem on myself, like even in my performance stuff, like I'll be driving home and, I could have said that. That could have been funnier. I could have delivered that better. But then, you know, when I come home, I try to, you know, zone into the family thing. Because I do think it's a great tool for personal growth. If you can admit that you're not always what you see yourself as. Does that make sense? By taking time to reflect on your thoughts, emotions, and actions, you can gain insight into your inner workings and identify patterns of behavior that may be holding you back. I think we've talked about that during the show, right? I mean, the show's been on for 7 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I think we have 19 episodes.
It's like cat ears.
But I think we're all fairly good at learning from mistakes and trying to fix them and grow with them. Do you find that you find new strategies? Like, do you think something and then say, I'm going to go look that up because I don't think I delivered that right? Are you that critical, or how do you guys work?
I notice for myself, like, I'm different with different groups, like at work and with my kids, I might be a certain way, but like with my wife, I'm a little bit, you know, sloppier at times. But it'd be interesting if we all walked around with a mirror and we could see how we are acting in situations. And I think a lot of times, like on Zoom meetings, you can kind of see yourself and how you're kind of coming off to other people and how you appear to, like, the other, like in the eyes of other people. And so it's really, I don't know, kind of interesting to see, like, oh, this is how people see me. And I think, I don't know, I think so often we don't ever think about how we're coming off. We're always like looking outward at other people. So like blaming and looking at the cause of things, you're always looking outward at other people, and it's really hard to look inside. So I don't know, for me, it's like really trying to trick myself or to break out of those habits and like find ways to like snap out of that again, like sort of that autopilot, and try to remember to like, oh, like, let me try to pay attention to how I'm acting here, whether it's at work or with my wife or with my kids. You know, it does take a little bit of practice and awareness to kind of get yourself to kind of like, you know, pay attention.
Do you think people are, do you agree or disagree with the term that people are, when someone says, oh, they're just set in their ways?
No, people can change.
Yeah, I believe that.
It's determination.
people can change, but the issue is that you find yourself in that constant cycle. Totally. And the key to self-reflection is to help break those cycles so you can be healthy for yourself and then healthy for those in your life. And that's the big part of it, because even if you find yourself in that same cycle, you have to be able to, like, again, you look at your kids and you see how they react to you or your spouse or anybody you're dealing with, and you start to go, oh, okay, well, it's picking up social cues, and it's that's a broader conversation, but it's like being able to pick up those social cues to know this isn't being effective in a communication way with whoever I'm dealing with, and I've got to find a way to be better at that, or else I'm going to end up being, you know, alone.
To your question, like getting new information, we all get so much information about parenting. We have so many thoughts, and it's, to me, it's like mining, you know, and there's so much information, but once in a while you find a gem and you put it in your little pockets and hold on to those gems. Like I think there's only 5 or 6 real gems I got in my parenting pocket. You know what I mean? And from all the mining and all the gleaning, like, you know, like a professional family therapist that we're going to right now, like, I'm like, oh, the money, this guy's so expensive, you know, like, but the process has been really, really good because, first of all, no one's better at, like, I mean, depends how good they are, and this guy happens to be good and flushing out some basically core issues. So, like, I mean, I would recommend it if you're really struggling with your family, just bite the bullet, man. It's money well spent. As long as it's someone reputable, I think you know that after a pretty short amount of time if you're wasting money or not, or if it's working. But anyway, our family therapist has been helping me a lot, that objective view on our family.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question about the gems?
Yeah.
Like, so you have those gems.
Yeah.
And when you find yourself in the heat of whatever's going on, how do you call in those gems to guide you towards where the direction you want to go versus just falling into the habit of who you are naturally?
Well, that's why I call them the gems, because they're the ones that I actually remember. You know what I mean?
So, like, when you find yourself going down the normal path, do they course correct you?
Yes, and that's why those few things are gems, is because they're the ones that I'm able to pull out. You know, all the other stuff, I'm like, oh, I should do this right now. There's every situation that comes up in the family, like, there's a lot better reactions. Like, my sister's very good at how she, like, deals with my kids being brats. Like, she deals with my sister deals with my kids being doing something wrong what better than me. And so I'm like, oh, but I can't remember all that. So anyway, those gems are just those ones that I have there, like, written in my brain that I am able, that help us out, are those the moments.
Because that's that jumping on the gem thing is, it's always hard for me to I have a hard time stumbling or moving away from the old ways.
Of course.
And going into what I know is a healthier direction, because, again, you're dealing with your own baggage or growing up or whatever you've dealt with, and it's hard to, like, go, oh, but I know this is the right thing to do. And so that's got to be a pretty big gem to dislodge the nature, right?
Well, yeah, but like I said, there's so much information. I don't worry about all the things I'm not doing. There's just a few things I've gleaned out that really, really work for my personality and my kids, that combination of who they are and who I am.
That's cool.
And so, like, you know, one would be when they were little, giving them a choice. Instead of saying, brush your teeth, I would say, which toothbrush do you want to use? That was golden. That was gold. That was a diamond, a huge diamond. Give them a choice when they were little. And as they go into teenage years, it's a little different. Instead of saying, Daisy, do your chores, it's like, hey, babe, how you feeling after school? Instead of, do your chores. Anyway.
I think it's a matter of, too, of flexing the muscle, right? The more repetitive motions that you have, it's easier to pull those gems out.
Yeah, it's an exercise. It's not a magic trick. It's exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's reframing your directing, really.
I'm constantly trying to learn, and I admit, we've always admitted, that's one of the credos of this show, is that we're flawed and we're trying to fix it and we're trying to learn and get better constantly. And then I just keep a lot of those things in. That's a great analogy. I try to keep a lot of that in mind during moments where I feel like I'm going the other way or slipping into an old behavior. And then I think, oh, I need to do that. You know, and just to circle completely back, I mean, considering others' perspectives is a great path to empathy, right? And that's really important. So it's, you know, it's a very good habit to have with your kids and putting yourself in there, or your wife, or your spouse, you know, or whoever, to just get in that space. It would be an interesting exercise. And I might try it. Like, I think it would be interesting if I had a self-evaluation with my wife at the end of the night. We recap. We definitely discuss things that are going on, the current events, the current situations, the schedule, the problems, the wins, the losses. But, like, holding the mirror up on both sides.
Yeah.
In an egalitarian soft way, really? Instead of, like, man, you really screwed that one up. And I'm,
I mean,
I'm
if you're
sorry.
Not accounting, though, like, how do you keep track of how you're doing? So
I don't think there's a need to be keeping track. It's just more of a self-improvement on both sides.
Yourselves, right? And how you're acting. Like, you know, checking in with your wife at the end of every day or at the end of every, you know, month or year. Like, what was my report card?
We'll do this because I have a little more time, again, ad nauseum. I'm freelance, so I have time. If we're having an issue, I'll dive into smart articles by smart people by the dozen and try and figure that out. And then I'll introduce that strategy to my wife. I'll be like, hey, this came across four or five different places. Why don't we try this? And let's see how we do with this. And then we'll both try it. And she appreciates that because she does not have the time to deep dive into some things like I do. And then, of course, we learn through the show, too, because we always have various topics and subjects and things like that. So I don't think there's necessarily a keeping track, but I will say that we try to stay consistent moving forward. And then as we do it more and more, it becomes natural and normal versus having to reach deep for a gem.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Well, we've kind of rolled through this. I'm going to give the bullet points just to get the article out of the way. Sorry, article. So some of the things, obviously, it improves relationships. It can regulate emotions. They're giving you the positives of self-reflection. Although, again, I think most people do this, but this is a little more laser focused on kids, siblings, parents, relationships with their kids. Resolving conflicts builds resilience. Researchers have found that systematic self-reflections on stressors can strengthen your resilience, right? And that's kind of what we just talked about. You know, you just keep that repetitive motion going, whatever child's behavior trying to fix, or sibling rivalry or fighting or chore balance or schedule balance, you know, whatever it might be. It definitely scientifically improves parenting. Self-reflection is one of the most powerful tools in parenting. It can help you avoid making bad parenting decisions. Mindful parents who reflect on their own feelings and their child's thoughts can be more empathetic and attuned to their children's needs. There's many different ways to self-reflect. Self-awareness is what they say first. Self-noticing your emotional and physical response to the event. It's fully aware of yourself as an observer where you can watch your own reactions as if you're studying yourself, which is what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Trigger identification. Identify the particular issue that causes the initial emotional responses. Recognizing these triggers helps you adapt coping strategies. That's kind of what I said, right? Because that's what that's my safety net, is that I go straight to, you know, research and reading and try and hear from experts on. Ben's is going to a therapist, which is very beneficial for your family. And we may be there someday. But that's currently our kind of the way we roll. Reappraisal, your initial reaction to an adverse event is not the only way to interpret what has happened. Evaluate your own responses in the situation objectively and try to avoid your own biases. Future focus, identify what could be done differently. Determine what can be improved or what can be learned to help you achieve a better outcome this time. So, and then practicing meditation, which is one of my favorites. Reflective journaling is another. And I don't, it's.
Who's going to do that?
I've always had the will, like I wanted to journal, but I never.
Never did? Ever? Not even
oh,
like?
Oh, no, I did. I did when they were younger too. I used to. Every day I would just jot down. There's a whole book full, and then I just got tired of it. But there was a whole book full of like firsts with my younger ones, or right. Funnies and things like that. And I just tossed it in one of the memory bins, and I figure they'll pull it out someday and whatever. yeah, exactly, whatever. Yeah. All right, coming up next. How many Infinity Stones are there? You're going to find out.
Really?
Whether it's 3, 5, 6, or 10.
I even know that.
A pub quiz to end all pub quizzes coming up next.
It's quiz time! Parent quiz! Quiz.
It's time for the parent quiz. We're going to go a little, since it's almost spring break, I'll just roll a pub quiz. I Googled pub quiz, and we got a pub quiz. So we're going to roll through 10 questions. Let's put Southern Living on the line. We haven't done that in a while.
I'd say we raise the stakes a little, like tacos after the show.
Subscription to Southern Living. Crawdads.
And cupcakes.
How odd that you knew that.
I know.
Wow.
I already knew it was coming out. I was so excited for that one.
Crawdads and cupcakes from Charleston.
Interesting mix. But yeah. Okay, I'll take it.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. how many Infinity Stones are there? Three, five, six, or ten?
Five.
Oh, that's incorrect. There's six.
No. Are there really?
No, according to this Travels with Ellie.
No.
What is the only food that cannot go bad? Dark chocolate, peanut butter, canned tuna, or honey?
Honey. Yes.
Honey. It's your honey.
That's true?
Yes.
In a rich man's world.
I seem pretty sure. Okay, honey.
Yes.
Thanks for leading the way.
It is honey.
Fine.
Well, he was singing, so it kind of...
What 90s boy band member bought MySpace in 2011? Nick Lachey, Justin Timberlake, Sean Stockman, or AJ McClain?
Nick Lachey.
Oh, yeah? I'm going with Sean.
I say Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey was in what group? The 98 Degrees.
98 Degrees, right?
Yes.
But the answer is Justin Timberlake, who obviously was in NSYNC.
Really?
JT.
Obviously.
Justin Timberlake bought MySpace. Well, he's the only one that really had big post success to have the money to buy MySpace.
That's a good point.
He brought Sexy back.
Yeah, he did.
Justin Timberlake did.
Get out your seat.
What is the most visited tourist attraction in the world? This is a pub quiz. You might go into any pub in the world and find these questions.
Visited? Eiffel Tower.
I was going to give you a choice, but
Golden Gate Bridge.
If you answer right off the bat, that's 2 points.
I'll go Eiffel Tower.
Well, the Golden Gate Bridge is okay. Wait, no.
Eiffel Tower, Statue of Liberty, Ooh. Great Wall of China, or the Colosseum.
I'm going Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower. Yeah. Because it's just a machine.
I'm Blue Abadie. It is the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, it's so busy.
What is the name of Hagrid's pet spider?
Hold on.
Okay.
Crookshanks, no, Mossack, no. or Aragog?
Aragog.
Come yes.
on. Aragog is correct. What is the heaviest organ in the human body? Ben, clean answers only.
Liver.
Brain, liver, skin, or heart?
Ooh.
Brain, liver, skin.
Skin is an organ.
Biggest organ, but I think by weight,
I didn't write the liver.
Yeah, I'm liver going is liver. The heaviest, I think.
I say liver. Liver is correct.
Yes.
Ben, are you ready?
Yeah.
This is a home run for you. Which of these EU countries that Ben has lived in does not use the euro as its currency?
UK.
UK.
Poland, Denmark, Sweden, or all of the above? What does not use the EU as its euro
Holland,
currency?
Denmark.
I don't know.
Wait, Holland, Denmark, Sweden?
Poland, Denmark, Sweden.
Holland does use
all
the euro.
Above.
Well, the last one was what? What'd you say?
Forget I can't it. Hear it's you. All of the above. Poland.
Yeah, it's probably all of the above. the Polish are not part of the EU. I don't know.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Is this a faulty quiz?
No, it's Maybe. Good. I love
it's
it.
Pretty easy.
You're saying it's a faulty quiz. All right, here you go. Which U.S. city is the sunniest major city and sees more than 320 sunny days a year?
San Diego.
Is it Phoenix, Miami, San Diego, or Austin?
San Diego.
Wait, hold on. Not true, because there's a lot of June gloom in San Diego.
Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix makes
Arizona,
more sense. Inland. Yeah. More inland. Phoenix.
Phoenix is correct.
Yeah.
How odd that you have a venue called the Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
Interesting.
Named after the great city of Phoenix, Arizona.
It's really not, it's
the
bird, but okay.
The rising bird. From the ashes.
Yeah.
Have you ever been standing on a corner in Tucson, Arizona?
I have.
Got a world of trouble on your mind?
I don't know what song that is, but I'm pretty sure it's a song.
Eagles.
Take it
I was standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
You guys know I hate the Eagles.
Oh, wow.
Man,
that's for another show.
Eagles.
But he loves the Crows. What type of food holds the world record for being the most stolen around the world?
Pizza?
Who's going to steal pizza, Ben?
Rocks, candy, and
that is the worst OG answer.
Hold on. I was thinking of like ripping off.
What are you doing Friday? Let's go steal a pizza.
I was thinking of ripping off. Forget it.
Wagyu beef?
What?
Yeah. Cheese? Coffee? Or chocolate?
Coffee.
Chocolate.
What is the most stolen, food around the globe?
Chocolate.
Chocolate because it's a there's a lot of dark trade going on in Africa.
Interesting.
I'd say chocolate.
I'd say cheese. It's sometimes estimated that most 4% of the cheese produced around the world
stolen.
Is stolen.
Fromage.
How can that?
Okay. Cheese is fine.
Beautiful. I love cheese.
It is, but
I'd steal some cheese right now.
Heck yeah. Let's go do it.
On average, how many seeds are located around the outside of a strawberry? 100, 200, 400, or 500?
500. Them's a lot of seeds.
Two.
I like two.
Really? Five. All right. What is it?
The answer's two.
Oh, dang.
That's a lot of seeds.
Overshot the seeds. Feels like five.
I got you, man.
Finally, what is the oldest soft drink in the United States? Ooh. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Canada Dry Ginger Ale.
Ooh.
Canada Dry Ginger Ale.
I'm going Dr. Pep.
Hold on. No, it's Coke because I think the carbonation was an accident, and that's where it first... I'm going
to
say Coke.
According to Travels with Ellie in the pub quiz, she drinks Dr. Pepper, yes. And she's proud.
Yes.
Okay.
She's part of an original crowd.
Lucky guess.
I'm a Pepper, you're a Pepper, she's that's a really Pepper.
I've been to the Pepper. Place that it was discovered. Dr. Pepper.
No, it's not. All pharmacist. Right, great job, everybody. Clearly,
really do that good.
Chris was the winner tonight.
Clearly.
Mark tied close second.
I got the magazine.
Except for that one stumble. And Ben, unfortunately, you will not be receiving Southern it's Living
rigged.
Magazine.
It's rigged.
All right, it's time for things that make us smile. A lot of things on the docket tonight, right? Let me tell you, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick off in Ben world.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
So, I have rediscovered, this makes me smile, cereal milk.
Yes.
And the joy of finishing a bowl of cereal and leaving a couple of the soggy guys there so you get a little bit of fullness. I'm totally, my kids are all... They weren't cereal kids, and now they're kind of liking cereal at this latter stage, and I'm all on board. I had a bowl of cereal yesterday morning. It was the strawberry Cheerios.
Oh my gosh!
And so I'm like, oh, it's just heaven. And then the usual suspects. My kids are doing some really fun shows right now. Annie and my high schooler is in a production, which is super exciting. And my wife's home. Drum roll. 6 months.
Wow.
What's up?
Her offices are getting totally gutted, redone, rebuilt. So as much as I miss the sorrowful part of the pandemic, I'm going to have a little buddy to hang around with during my freelance when I'm not on the road. So I'm kind of backwardly excited about that. And then that's all I got on that one. It's just been a good month all around. Chris?
Yeah, my big one is... big parenting milestone. My daughter got accepted to UCLA, my alma mater.
Yeah. Cue applause.
Celebrating our all my college roommates. We're in Vegas together celebrating our 50th birthday when I got the call watching UCLA in March Madness.
How and then, serendipitous is that?
Yeah, we were all crying. It was like a touching moment. So, yeah.
That's
I feel
great.
Like parenting milestone achieved.
Yeah.
College
yeah, dude.
Bound, you know.
Dude,
I was stressing about it, you know.
It's a little bit. Yeah.
You're a little bit.
What's Ted Lasso makes me smile.
Oh,
love it.
It's so funny.
I haven't seen the last one. I'm almost caught up.
Okay, and the anticipation of a trip.
Yava.
Just as fun as a trip. Like, so, like, we're just decided today to go down and do something fun. I'm not, doesn't matter what. But, you know, and I'm excited. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's just as fun as doing it.
Totally.
Yeah, we're going away on Saturday, but tomorrow's like the kids have a thing at school, but then it's the odds and ends day where you get those last-minute things, and you make the target run, and you get the thing, and you get the thing. So that's our anticipatory kind of build up to the thing. And now we're getting harder core into like where we're going to eat, what that day's going to look like. And we're kind of getting geeked up about it.
So totally.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. Mark?
How do I top any of that? That's like UCLA and I can't beat the feeling of a trip. But that's like, that's amazing. Anyway, indoor soccer season ended. Spending August through April with a bunch of kids was a lot of fun. My daughter got 2 goals on her last game. So that's always a fun way to end a season, way to end a match. I may not coach her again. This might be my final hurrah with her since I'm going to probably start taking over coaching my 8-year-old.
You've coached for like 37 years now, right?
It's been a while. Yeah, and then it's been 17 actually, if you need to know, almost 18. But and then you know, coaching my little boys' baseball team, helping them out, has been just you know seeing him grow and learn. We actually, my mother-in-law hired him a coach to help him with his baseball skills because he seems to love it. And the guy who's coaching him's like said a lot of nice things. So that
those
makes
pictures
me feel
are
good.
Super cute.
Yeah, it's just fun. I mean, that's
well. God bless the volunteer coaches. I'm really grateful for you guys.
Well, it's one of those things where my folks weren't around when I was playing sports, so I felt like I didn't have anybody there to watch me play, and so I'm trying to soak up as much of this being there with my kids and you know and in whatever capacity they want me to be, whether it's coaching or rooting them on or just whatever it is. So that's a lot of fun. And then of course this week one of my kids had spring break. We went bowling today. That was just it's just fun to cut away for a day and go do something kind of fun and sweet. And
got to cut loose, Mark.
Yeah,
foot loose.
Yeah,
kick off your Sunday shoes, Mark.
I do.
Louise. I watched a snippet on Daryl's house where Kenny Loggins actually explained how complicated the song Footloose is.
Oh, come on, Kenny.
Like, you think it's just... But it's a lot more than that. Yeah.
Did Kenny actually do Live at Daryl's House?
Yeah.
I record that show. I'll have to see if I can... Was it new? I love Live at Daryl's House. You kidding me?
I'm ripping through the Rockies. I don't know what happened, but I got some stuck.
Love me some.
Fantastic. Well, you know what, guys? What does a marshmallow chick's car horn sound like? Beep, beep, peep, peep. Beep, beep. Beep, beep. That's it. The show's over. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out with us. You guys make it worthwhile. Have a great night. They were the Dad Timeout Show.
Peace.
Oh, you know what?
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Try an Earl Grey latte.
Shut up.
Sounds good to me.
Have a good night, everybody.
See ya. Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour. My turn!
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Timeout Show. And we're out of here.